If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 10. We won't be jumping around scriptures today, just one scripture. And I didn't put it on the screen, sorry. So we're in number 5 of 6. Yeah, 5. So we are on of the apest acrostic, if you like, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds. So we're on. We're on the shepherds, this bit. This will be the one that you're all mostly familiar with, I should hope. So, John chapter 10, this is Jesus talking to some people. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. And Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was trying to say to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and I will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them, and the hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." May God bless that word to us. We can have the PowerPoint. That'd be brilliant. Good. So we're on shepherds. In the industrialized West, we do not realize the intimacy of a shepherd with his flock as they do in Syria and in the Middle East. One writer remarks of this: "It was my daily delight every day for many weeks and a dozen times a day to watch a shepherd who had this almost incredibly close communion with his flock. Many times have I accompanied him through the green pastures and by the stream. If my shepherd wished to lead his sheep from one pasture to another, he went before them, and he was usually singing. He led them with a song or with a sweet, low, wooing whistle like the call of a bird, and the sheep raised their heads, as they do, from the herbage and looked at their guardian and guide and followed on. I've heard his song and his low bird call by the watercourse, and I've seen the sheep follow his course over the rocky boulders to still waters where they have been refreshed. At noon he would sit down in a place of shadows, and all his flock crowded around him for rest. At night, when the darkness was falling, he gathered them into the fold." Such is the imagery of this John 10 passage that we've just read. Everybody listening to Jesus would have had had something like this in their minds at the time. They would have known this is the way shepherds lead their sheep. Added to this, just another bit of background information to understand that passage a bit better, Jesus talks about the sheep being in a fold with lots of other sheep. And he says, "I call my sheep and my sheep come to me." Well, that's it implies the fact that there are other sheep that don't belong to that shepherd in the fold. It's a communal fold. Hence why he has to say, I talk to my sheep and my ones come to me, but the others stay still. So there's the significance there of the sheep knowing his voice, because only his sheep are going to leave with him. So we're talking today about the vocation of shepherds. You will know the term pastor, which is basically the same kind of thing. And lots has been written, extensive amounts have been written on the role of pastor. So yeah, there's handouts coming out if you want. There's about 20 of them, so it'll be one between two, really. And the thing is, lots has been written about pastors, shepherds. Everybody thinks they know what a pastor does. And if you've ever had the job of writing a job description for somebody to be the pastor of a church or to be a pastor, you will have said things like, is 25 years old and has 50 years experience, etc. And there's all kinds like that. But you see, the problem is, in the books that have been written, the role, the vocation of pastor has been elevated way beyond its actual station. Way beyond. It's just way, way. It's been given tasks that really pastors can't do. That natural pastors, natural shepherds, just they can't do it. Lots has been elevated. For example, people have described the pastor as, or shepherds as the they're at the forefront of the congregation. They're at the forefront. They're the leaders of the congregation. Well, actually, no, they're not. If somebody is a natural shepherd, that is so not their natural inclination to lead. That is not what they do. They don't do that. They're not at the forefront. Apostles are. Apostles are the ones spearheading everything, making sure everything sticks together. So this morning, I want to show you what we're going to have to do, some relearning about what shepherds actually do. And I want to use Jesus as our example, because he does the John 10 passages is it can be quite helpful. So Alan Hirsch and Tim Catchem, who write the book The Permanent Revolution, which most of this material is taken from, I should just say that. Well, actually, most of the material in this session actually isn't taken from it, but past sessions have been. So the evangelists and the apostles particularly have been taken from that book. This, I use their three headings, and then we look into the John 10 passage a bit more using their three headings. They say that pastors and shepherds do three things. They create healthy community, they nurture people in the faith, and they care for the welfare of the people. That's what they do. That is the way they operate. So within the context of all the other fivefold ministries, we've got these functions. Now remember this table that we had? Ooh, can't really see that at all. So I'm going to zoom in and show you the bit about pastoral. Can you see that? Now you should be able to read that. That's a bit better. So you've got at the top, pastoral ministry exposes the disciple to the need for self-awareness and understanding, but then pastoral creates the environment for the development of Christ-likeness. This is what pastors do. They are like, they take people on in their faith. That's what they do. And they do it by caring and nurturing and creating healthy community. That's how they operate. So we're going to look at these three things, caring, creating a healthy community, nurturing people in faith, caring for the welfare of people, through the lens of Jesus, and kind of reinterpret it in terms of the fivefold understanding, the apest understanding. So Jesus creates a healthy community, and there's two ways that Jesus does this. He does it as the noble shepherd. So this is often called the passage of the good shepherd, and he says he's the good shepherd, but he's the noble shepherd, and he does it by joining the community together. So there's a nice little picture there. It's an icon from the Greek Orthodox Church. I love the icons. They're painted out of devotion, for devotion. They're great. So that's a picture of Jesus as the shepherd. So if you look at verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And the sentiment here, the reason I call him the noble shepherd, is this. It's more akin to noble in that he does good things and he is good. Unlike the hired hands that he talks about a bit later on, who actually they have no concern for anybody else but themselves. But you see, Jesus, he's noble. He gives himself for the sheep. It's part of his character, his own sense of identity. He is noble. He's good. And he creates a healthy community by being good. So pastors are good, shepherds are good, because that's who they are. They treat the sheep properly. And that's how they create, it's part of the way they create healthy community. And the second way they create healthy community is by joining the community together. Look further down in verse 16. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they listen to my voice. So there'll be one flock and one shepherd. So there are other parts to the community. And in this context, Jesus was talking about the Gentiles being grafted into the Jews. And what he was saying here is, I've got other sheep, but for now I'm coming to the lost house of Israel. But eventually the whole flock's going to be joined in. It's going to be one flock, one shepherd. So Jesus is creating a healthy community by joining everyone together. And that's how he does it. So shepherds, in the context of the APEST fivefold ministries, create healthy community by being good shepherds, noble shepherds, authentic, good. They have the best interests of everyone at heart. They're ready to risk it all for the sake of the community. And they instill this in other people as well. They want other people to care about the community as a whole. And that's what they do. That's part of being a good shepherd. And this is why it's such a wrench for them when people leave. Even if the people leave for a good reason, they're like, oh no, we've left them. And it's such a wrench for them because they're so caught up in making sure the community is healthy. They don't want people to leave because that's a sign of the community not growing. So it's okay if you've got people that are really struggling because people are leaving, it's because they're so wanting to keep the community together and keep it healthy. So that's the first thing, creating healthy community. And then Jesus nurtures people in the faith. And there's two things again here. He leads the sheep out and he has a close relationship with them. Verses 4 and 5. Talk about this. When he brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Don Carson, a man with a very large brain, clever theologian, he has written extensively on John's gospel, and he says in his commentary on this passage that these verses 4 and 5, is a picture of the master-disciple relationship. Wherever the master goes, his disciples follow. You see, the good shepherd leads people in the faith. That's the leading that they do. Better put, they nurture people in the faith. And going back to the table, he brings people, a good pastor or shepherd brings people to an understanding and awareness of who they are. That's what shepherds do. They bring people, they lead them to this self-revelation, self-discovery almost, to understand who they are in Christ. How do they do that? And that's the second point. Through close personal relationships with people. I'm thinking here of a pastor friend of ours in the States. He was a pastor of a church for well over 20 years, and he managed to grow it really, you know, double it in size, even more than that. But you see, he wasn't a leader in that same. He was a good leader, but he was also a shepherd. He was an incredible shepherd because when you'd go and see him, he would ask you about 15 questions, quick fire questions, all about your life. And these wouldn't be simple questions. These would be deep personal questions. What are you doing with your life? Where are you going? How has Jesus been speaking to you recently? What are you doing about it? You know, he would properly probe into your life. He now works with Haitians, and he's got a whole other ministry doing something entirely different because he's retired from formalized ministry, church ministry. But he had, and he recognized the importance of close personal relationships. Now, just to provide a bit of contrast for you, I'm not pastor, I'm not shepherd, I am not in any way, shape or form. I have a little bit, and I've learned how to do it, but I have to gear myself up for it. So close personal relationships for me are really difficult. Partly because that's who I am, and partly because I'm apostle. And I just don't have the time to invest great deal of time in two or three people. Even if they're, you know, going for it, it just the time effort is so much. And I just don't have the energy emotionally to do that. And you see, that's the other thing about shepherds. They have this incredible aptitude. Well, I think we'll come on to that later, won't we? Yeah, we'll come on to that later. This emotional investment in people. But close personal relationships, real pastors want to know people. They want to spend time with people. They want to make sure that those people are well. And so then they want to, and above all, they want to bring them to Christ's likeness. So shepherds' function within the APES ministries is to nurture those in the faith to Christ's likeness through close personal relationships. It's the decision of the person if they're going to be like Christ, but the shepherd is the one who holds that person accountable and brings them on in the faith. So that's the second thing they do. They nurture people in the faith. The third thing is they care. Jesus cares for the welfare of people. He calls them by name and he's committed to them. Verse 3. He says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. A sheep will only respond to its name being called by its own shepherd. It ain't going to come out if it doesn't, if you're not calling its name and it doesn't recognize your voice. Jesus cares for the welfare, and he knows, and this is the thing for the welfare of the flock. Jesus knows each one. He knows each one. So putting that into contemporary society, this is why shepherds, pastors, real shepherds, struggle with groups of over 150. Because you can't remember more than 150 names. And you can't keep up to date with everybody's story for over 150 people. Their max is about 120. And this is why, with an emphasis in this country of churches, of pastors as being the leaders of churches, this is why churches don't grow. Because you can't look after more than 120 people and know their stories and look after them and bless them. Because you can't have close personal relationships with more than 120 people. It's tiring. It doesn't work. That's why you need apostles to spearhead the ministry, and then everything else falls into place after that. And the pastor shepherds have little groups of people they look after. So Jesus knows his flock, he knows all of them, and he knows all their names. And the second thing about caring for the welfare is he's committed to the sheep. As before, the hired hand, he doesn't care, he's off. But the actual shepherd knows and cares for the welfare of each one. And he goes the whole way, and that's the thing I haven't emphasized before, is he's willing to risk it all for the sake of the sheep. It's not some gross, oh, sheep, look at me, I'm dying to give my life for you. But it's the fact that the shepherd will risk his life to make sure that his sheep are safe out in the fields if a lion or a bear or wolf or whatever comes to try and get them. So shepherds, therefore, care about the state people find themselves in. They naturally care about big life events. That's why when I said, why do we have to do birthdays? And lots of people said, oh, you can't do that. Why? Because I think most of you are shepherd-like. Because you care about big life events of people. You care about when, some people care about when disaster's stricken somebody. They're emotionally involved. You know, Hirsch and Catchim in the book say that past shepherds have a strong empathetic aptitude. They empathize very closely with the people they care for. They know, they want to know how people are feeling, and how people are feeling is really important
to them. You see, for an apostle or a prophet or a teacher even, and sometimes evangelists, really, they don't care how you feel. They've got a job to do and they want to get on with it. It's not that they're uncaring. It's just that really the priority for them is so low down the list, it's not as important as for a shepherd. A shepherd cares, wants to make sure everybody is cared for, make sure their welfare is right. So how people feel is really important to them. So that is why there is a tension within the fivefold ministry between the pastors, the shepherds, and the apostles and the prophets, because the apostles and the prophets are wanting to go off and do the thing, do the stuff, but the shepherds are there, but we've got all these issues that we need to sort out. But yet you can have both, friends. You can have issues that you need to sort out, but at the same time, you need to be aware that we still have a job to do. So it's a tension. We have to hold it in creative tension. And we must, above all, for those with shepherd hearts, have to be patient. Those with apostle hearts and prophet type hearts and evangelists wanting to go out and do the stuff have to be really patient with the shepherds. Because the shepherds want to look after everybody, but the evangelists want to go out and get them all and just bring them in. Oh, I don't care what state they're in, just bring them in. As long as get them saved and get them in, let's go. And the prophets are like, let's extend the kingdom. You know, the apostles are like, let's extend the kingdom. And the prophets are like, oh, but the truth. So there's all these different emphases. How on earth can, in the midst of all this diversity, can we hold it together? We have grace, friends. Lots of grace for people. So look, just to finish. In as much as the entire community is supposed to be, this is a good question. The entire community is supposed to be apostolic. It's supposed to be prophetic. It's supposed to be evangelistic. It's supposed to be pastoral. The whole community is supposed to be all of those things. What implications does this have for us then as a community? I tell you, first of all, this is how I have to think of things. It doesn't mean this. We're all supposed to be inward looking. It doesn't mean that. Shepherd hearts doesn't mean that we just look inwards to our own little holy huddle all the time. That's not what shepherd hearts do, because they can be missional as well. And it doesn't mean that shepherds should kill themselves when they're looking after people. It says Jesus gives his life. He's prefiguring the cross here, so that's a little bit deeper than the surface imagery of shepherd. So you can't take, oh, well, Jesus gave himself. No, he wasn't a martyr. Shepherds aren't martyrs to the cause of looking after people, and they never should be. So they shouldn't kill themselves looking after people. Oh, well, I've got to go and do this for that person. I've got to go and do that for that person. I've got to go and do that. You can't do that. And you mustn't. You must have boundaries. And the second thing is, it doesn't mean that only shepherds are the ones to care for the people. We all, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher, we all have the importance of looking after one another. Okay, it doesn't come naturally to the apostle or the prophet or the evangelist or the teacher necessarily to care for people. But as the body of Christ, we all have a responsibility to look after each other, whether we feel like it or it comes naturally to us or not. We still have to look after each other. We still have to be concerned for people's welfare, whether we like it or it comes naturally to us or not. What does it mean then? It means that as we care for people, the act of caring for people will be a witness to the world. Especially when we care for unbelievers. It's an act of witness. It's an act of our discipleship. It brings us on and shows us more of who we are in Christ, more of who Christ is in us. So that's important. And that's part of how pastors, shepherds can be missional. Because we care for the unbeliever. So, for example, at Cross Point the other week, there was somebody who came in and he, through no fault, well, partly through his fault, but mostly not, found himself without anywhere to live, anywhere to sleep. And he had a son, but his son was off with other family members. And he was in a desperate situation. There was nothing I could do. I had to care for him. I had to have compassion on the guy. So I phoned up Julian House in Bath and I got him on a train to Bath. And I pray in the midst of this horrible weather that he got somewhere to stay that night because it was looking pretty bad that day. Now, it's not my natural inclination to pick somebody up off the street and put them on a train into a homeless shelter. But I was there and I had to care for the guy. So it doesn't mean that we don't have to care for people and we just leave it to the shepherds. Actually, as we care, especially for the unbelievers, it will be a witness. It will be missional. And the second thing is we ought to be supportive of those who are shepherd-hearted. So even if we're not shepherd-hearted, even if I'm not particularly shepherd-hearted, I must take care of those that are shepherds in the flock. Because the shepherds are going to be the ones that are going to be pouring their guts out for people on a daily basis, making sure people are well. They're going to be the ones on the phone all the time, finding out about where people are. And we've got to be supportive and make sure they don't take too much on. Make sure they don't kill themselves looking after people. And the third thing is, we've got to keep our eyes open together for opportunities to do the three things that shepherds do. As a community, we're all responsible for creating healthy community. We're all responsible to help nurture people into the faith and to care for the welfare of everybody. It's all our responsibility. Though the shepherds have a unique heart for it and it comes more naturally to them, it's everybody's responsibility, even if you're only doing it for one person. We've still got to look after each other. And I'm sure there's lots of other things that we could bring out of that, but that's kind of where we're going. I just want to finish with the words of John 13. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus there describing a shepherd's heart, saying, this is what we... But he was saying to all the disciples, the whole lot, love each other. Look after each other. Make sure the community's healthy. And that means no factions. And when there are grumbles, deal with them. Don't just let them fester and shove them under the carpet and hope they'll go away. If it's a grumble, we need to get it out in the open and we need to talk about it. If you've got an issue, don't talk to your neighbour about it and say, oh, I really hate that minister. He flipping does all these things I don't like. Oh dear, he's a numpty. Don't talk and fester among yourselves about it. And it's a parody, yes. But I'm making a serious point. If you let it fester, it's going to be that way and the community's not going to be healthy. And then this won't be a reality. This John 13. So that's shepherds for you. Creating healthy community. Nurturing people to faith. And into Christ's likeness. And then caring for the welfare of each other. Let's pray together. Father, I give you thanks that Jesus was all five, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. He was all five. And he was amazing because he was the second person of the Trinity. He was the Son of God. And I give you thanks that we have his example to follow. I give you thanks, Father, that Jesus created a healthy community around him. I give you thanks, our God, that he nurtured people to faith. He took the disciples on. It took them a while to get there, but they got there. And he made sure and he cared for the welfare of his sheep. And Father, I thank you that you've called us as a community to be apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, and pastoral. And I pray, our God, that we would indeed have healthy community here. That we would care for the welfare of each other. And that we would nurture people to faith, to Christ-likeness. Father, I pray that where we have slighted the gift of shepherd, and where we have misinterpreted it and thought it was something that it wasn't, that you would forgive us and help us to put it in its proper context. Help us to be a caring community, that by the love that we show for each other, the world will truly know that you are God. So, Father, teach us. And Father, where there are those of us who do not have the natural inclination to be caring as a shepherd would you give us a revelation, a fresh revelation of what it means for us. So that we wouldn't speak unkind words to people because we're so impatient to get our job done. But that we would learn to care for each other. Lord, we bless you and we give you thanks for your example. And we pray that we'd be able to follow you in all that we do and say. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.